Welcome to Coach to Coach, a podcast dedicated to showcasing the power of coaching. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Linder, and I offer coaching to academics and higher education professionals to bring more ease to their lives and work. Before you dive into this episode, here's a quick introduction to the structure of the show. In each season of Coach to Coach, a new guest coach will come on the show to demonstrate a range of coaching tools and strategies. The first episode will offer you an introduction to the guest coach. Then I'll coach the guest, and they'll coach me for the next six episodes. And always on real topics and issues we're dealing with in our own lives. Each season will end with a debrief episode where we'll talk about how the season went and offer any updates on the topics covered in earlier episodes. It might make the most sense to start each season in the beginning and listen to the episodes in order. This season, I'm delighted to introduce you to Dr. Katie Peplin. Katie specializes in working with graduate students and offers them a community and network to support their needs and help them to live whole lives while pursuing their degrees. Now, on to the episode. Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I am excited because tonight we are passing the baton and you are going to be coaching me. And I love this because it gives people a chance to see everybody's different coaching styles. And I know we're going to approach things slightly differently from each other. So I'm going to pass the baton and let you go ahead and start the session.
Okay, great. So the first thing I would like to say is, hey, how are you? How are you landing into this call today?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I've just gotten back from work as we record this. It's later for you than it is for me, but I just came home from work. I like slammed down some dinner so that I would have the energy to come to this call. But I've been thinking about it kind of all day and excited to jump in. And I think it's going to be really fun to explore the topic tonight. And so I feel like I'm landing in a pretty good spot, not too harried and in a place where I can focus.
All right, awesome. So I just want you to know that I read the questions from our pre-session questionnaire, and I understand that you kind of been traveling, you've been bouncing around. Is there anything else that you want to make sure that we get to tonight that wasn't on that form? So just to sort of recap on the form, you said you might want to talk about a morning routine and versus an evening routine and kind of how to be flexible when we don't have total control over our schedules.
Yes. I think that the additional detail that I'd really like to dig into is I have been wanting to start a yoga practice.
Okay.
And I think that that may be part of that evening routine. I think my morning routine is pretty solidified right now, at least for now, with what I'm doing with it. But the evening is more open and I don't know what other time of the day I can fit in that yoga routine. And so that's kind of what I want to tackle because I've been thinking about it for a long time and not taking action. Okay. And so it's helpful. I think it'd be helpful for me to talk through what is maybe keeping me from taking action, starting the yoga routine. And maybe even just like, why do I think it's a good idea? Because it's in my mind as a thing I should be doing. And I don't know that I've fully explored why.
Okay. That all sounds good. And so just so you know, when I'm looking this way, it's because I'm keeping notes on my pad.
That's
so
totally fine.
I'm happy to show them to you later. Just so that you know, it always made me really uncomfortable when like teachers were writing and I didn't know what it was. So just that's what it is.
You are welcome to take notes.
So the question, I actually want to start a little bit with the morning routine because I'd love to hear what's working already. Because one of the things I think is really important is to not reinvent the wheel all of the time. So if there's a part of your routine that feels really stable, let's start by digging in there, if that's okay, and
sure.
Figuring out what makes it feel so stable. So what are the parts of your morning routine?
So right now I've been doing this routine for about 3 months.
Okay.
And so I wake up usually a little before five. I don't usually wake up to an alarm. My alarm is set for five. So I pretty much naturally wake up a little before then. And then I check my phone in bed for usually about 20 minutes. And that's like quick email scan, quick social scan. I look at my RSS feeds, like just kind of getting a sense of what's there. And I read the news really quick just to see what the headlines are. And then I know that I do morning pages. So, and that typically takes me between 25 and 30 minutes. So I'm motivated to get up at a decent time because I also want to get in a walk. So it's like they kind of trigger each other.
Yeah.
So if I stay in bed too long, I'm going to take too long for my morning pages, which is not going to leave me enough time for my walk. Like there's all these things that are kind of dominoes.
Right.
So I do the morning pages and then I pretty much immediately throw on my shoes, you know, get my phone and my earbuds and I walk and I go outside for a walk. And that typically goes anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes on a weekday. And I try, it's kind of a step thing. And I walk the same path. It's kind of a circular path. So I try to just do like four laps, five laps. And the idea is basically to get half my step count before I go into work. Because then I'm not worried about, I try to hit 10,000 a day. So I like listening to podcasts during that time, but it's also very much about just trying to help me hit kind of larger goals as well. And then after that, I usually get back to my house around 6:40-ish. I grab some breakfast. I usually eat the same thing in the morning. It's a very set routine, Katie. Yeah. And then I get ready to go to work, and I'm usually out the door by like 7:15 going into my workday.
What's your favorite part of the routine? Like, what's the part that if I were to sort of remove it, you would be like, oh, that feels like a real loss?
Yeah, I would definitely say the morning pages. Like I actively look forward to that. Like, and sometimes I'm even thinking about the night before, you know, like, is there something I want to focus on in there? Is there a question I want to be asking? It really helps me to process and just kind of do a brain dump in the morning of what I'm thinking of from the day before. And also it's been really helpful in the last few months of just recognizing some thought patterns and helping me to kind of turn around some mindset around certain things. And so it's a very powerful tool for me right now in terms of reflection. So definitely the morning pages, but that's a close call between that and the walk, because the solitude time is like, all of it is solitude time. My partner is sleeping during this whole situation. So it's really time for me to just be alone, which I enjoy.
Okay. And then my second question about, well, I guess it might be my third. I'm very bad at remembering how many questions there are. But the question that's coming to mind now is, in the process, because you said you've had this routine and it's been stable for about 3 months, what was the hardest or like the last piece to click in? Like, what were there any struggles or challenges, I guess is another way to ask that, in terms of establishing this routine?
Mm-hmm. I would say that it took me a little while to figure out the timing part, because the walk used to be like 45 minutes to an hour. And so sometimes I would feel like I needed to kind of get up earlier or just like get out the door earlier in order to have time to do that. The other thing that changed within that period was I changed buildings at work, and I used to have a parking lot that was 15 minutes closer to my building. Like I didn't have to have a walking commute in the morning.
Yeah.
And now I do. And so I'm leaving my house 15 minutes earlier than I would normally to make sure I'm getting to work at the time I want to get to work. So there was like some timing shifts to try to figure out, and I ended up basically cutting the walk back a little bit because I knew I would be walking into work and, you know, that kind of thing. And it all got kind of shuffled. I would also say too, I don't think it was challenging, but the last piece to click, because I've been walking for a while, is probably the morning pages, just because that was a more recent addition.
Okay.
But it wasn't hard. It was like very much what I wanted to do, and it fit really well into the routine.
Well, and what sounds like to me is that, like, I get up on purpose so that I can have my coffee. It sounds like you get up to have your morning pages.
Yes. I mean, the writing is absolutely, and I'm not really eating or drinking anything until I'm back from the walk. So, I mean, there's a set amount of things that I'm doing before I'm really getting into like that part of my day.
Okay. So I'm sort of processing that and thinking about, so some of the things that I'm hearing you describe in this routine is that it's pretty regimented. And I don't mean that in like, it's a rigid thing, but just that it has a sequence and these things sort of trigger each other, and that the timing is important, that there's a sense that these things have a specific container and there might be a tiny bit of flex, but not a lot. And that doesn't feel constricting. It actually feels like it's a way to know if you're on track. You know, if this kind of goes over or under 10 minutes, that's sort of a signal that something's not where it could be. And that it's important to have something that triggers the whole sequence that you like or you enjoy. So if I said like you had to eat breakfast first before you could do those things, that might disrupt the kind of flow of what that routine would feel like.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways it's like, there's definitely willpower involved of like getting out of bed in the first place.
5 a.m. I do not have 5 a.m. willpower. I have like 6:30.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm a morning person, so like that's fine, but I definitely feel like the order works in that, like, because it's like I'm rewarding myself by doing the pages first, and I know it's good for me, and, you know, but definitely you're right in that if it takes me longer to do the morning pages, that's something I pay attention to. If I feel really tired, like the other morning, I felt really tired when I got up, and I don't sacrifice the morning pages or the walk. I mean, it's like I'm doing it because I think it's good for my mental health. I think it's good for my physical health. But that day I told my partner, I need to go to bed early tonight. Like I feel, and it was right after I came back from being on a plane. And so I was right. Like, I feel like I'm run down. Like I definitely noticed a difference this morning, and I'll cut the walk short sometimes if I'm feeling that way. But then it is something I'm really like, okay, there's a kind of a red flag of like something right. is, I'm feeling like I'm getting sick or whatever. So I definitely pay attention to that. And the regimentedness of that schedule does help with that. But the other strange thing that I wasn't expecting was the morning feels incredibly leisurely. Like there is no point during this routine where I feel rushed because of right. the timing, and I know kind of how long these things take. And when I eat breakfast, I'm like standing at my kitchen counter, like leisurely eating my breakfast, having yeah. my water, because I try to drink a certain amount of water before I leave my house. I mean, you're learning all these things about me, and the people who are listening are like, who is this crazy person? But I have these things that I'm kind of trying to do because I don't want to have to think about them later. I don't want to have to worry that I'm not getting hydrated enough. I don't want to have to worry about hitting my step count at the end of the day. So if I can fit these things in early enough, I know that I'm kind of checking some of those boxes, and my brain can be thinking about other things.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the debt snowball method, where you're just kind of throwing some time at these goals in the morning to buy yourself a little bit of flexibility in the evening.
Yes, that is totally what's happening.
Okay. So that brings us to the evening. So the first question that I have is, if I could wave a magic wand and create the evening routine of your dreams, what would it look like? Just sort of without any other constraints.
Yeah. Well, I definitely need to eat. Like when I get home, I'm usually starving. And I like walk in and I immediately have dinner. So the something simple to prepare for dinner is a big part of that routine. Then I typically change my clothes to get into something more comfortable. And then I think ideally I would like to do quieter things in the evening to kind of come down from the day. But I would also like to be spending time with my partner, and that typically involves some kind of television time, which I also enjoy. But I am also really drawn to like reading in the evening, you know, falling asleep after reading a couple chapters of a novel or something. And then I also think I'm drawn to this idea of the yoga because I am typically at a desk all day. I mean, I'm getting up and walking around a little bit, but, and sometimes I take like a midday walk at lunch, but I am hunched. I'm a writer. I mean, I'm writing all day long and I'm in, you know, not good postures. So part of what I envision in this evening routine is like getting everything stretched back out before I go to bed and kind of getting limbered up so that when I'm sleeping, I'm not relying on the sleep to relax everything. I'm kind of doing some of that work to kick it off before I'm falling asleep. And lately, the other thing that's really triggering this yoga thing for me is I'm having a lot of back pain. Okay. So it's feeling like I need to do something more actively about that. And I've scheduled a bunch of massages for the rest of the year. So like I'm doing that work. Right. But I also feel like there's probably a daily practice that I could be engaging in that's kind of just doing some stretching, something that's kind of like getting things feeling a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm hearing is that there's a priority to kind of like make a separation between day job and then home life.
Yeah.
Like There's a break, there's a decompression time that you sort of need, that there's just some human body stuff that has to happen. You got to eat, you have to. And that there are limited access points to time with your partner, and that there's sort of a mismatch in terms of what that might want to look like or what things feel ideal in terms of like screens or no screens or books or no books, but also that this is a big priority and this is the most natural place for it to fit into the routine.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I've definitely run through, and I've yet to talk to my partner about this. So this is like an upcoming conversation. I was waiting for our session before I broach anything with him. But I definitely think like weekends are another possibility to do like a movie night or something like that, or watch a TV show. And so I definitely think there's possibility to have like weeknights be quieter, or to have, you know, certain weeknights be quieter or whatever. The other thing too is that there are some nights, like tonight, this is a good example, where I do have work and I'm taking a client call or I'm hosting a writing group or something like that. And I am, because of the 5 a.m. or pre 5 a.m. wake up, I mean, right, I'm trying to go to bed by 9.
Right.
So by the time I get home, it's pushing 5:30. So I really only have maybe 3.5 hours of time that I can devote to all the things that I'm trying to do during the evening. And if we have to go to the store or whatever, I mean, like there's just other stuff, as everybody knows, that comes up. So I also am feeling some tension around just there is limited time.
Yes.
And the regimented that I do in the morning will probably not work for my partner. So yeah, I need to be kind of more flexible around what that evening schedule looks like.
Absolutely. So I can definitely sort of relate to a lot of what you're saying, because I too have some flexible evenings. Sometimes I'm taking client calls. My partner works like a pretty irregular schedule. So like sometimes they're not home until 8 and sometimes they're home at 6 and like dinner moves around. So for me, I definitely hear the idea that like I have this routine that really works and is really stable, but the conditions are totally different at this other time of the day. So I maybe need to kind of reconceive of what I think of as the routine part of it. So the concept that I would love to introduce is something that I use with a bunch of clients. And I don't think it came from anywhere. I think it came from my brain. And so I started a long time ago. I see a therapist pretty regularly, and I started to notice that in my schedule, I needed an hour before and an hour after that appointment. And I didn't always know what I needed to do in that hour before, hour after. I just knew that if I had somewhere to be 30 minutes after, it wrecked everything after that, because like I'm rushing and I'm trying to like switch gears and totally like shove things down into this emotional box and like spin up this program. And it was really stressful. So I started literally putting in my Google Calendar blocks of time before and after, and I would just label it buffer. And it was a game changer in that there was something visual that reminded me that I couldn't put things there. And I'm wondering what if you conceived of something like your evening routine as a sequence of blocks. And so there was like, you know I have this dinner block that's pretty immovable. Like I know I'm going to need to eat before 7, say. And then otherwise I've got another block from like 7 to 8 and one from 8 to 9. And I'm going to be a little bit flexible. So like maybe on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, it's a buffer block. And I say, you know, I could use that to go to the store if we needed to, or if there's a TV show that we're working through, we could put it there. But having some sort of like purposefully unscheduled time inside of the routine would maybe open you up to feeling like it's accounted for, but it's not perfectly planned. Mm-hmm. How does that feel? Does it feel like not clear enough, not distinct enough? Because it could just be not ordered enough, maybe.
Right. I mean, it makes sense to me. And I think it fits really well with trying to build a routine with a partner, you know, like involved. If it was just me, I would be like, well, from this time to this time, I mean, it would be very, or I'd like join a yoga class or something. I mean, it would be like, I'd make it more regimented. But I also think, I question that even as I say it, because in the evenings, I've really lost a lot of my willpower. So I think part of the challenge of building in a routine in the evenings has been, I'm tired. Like I come home, I eat, I do want to just sit on the couch. Like I sometimes don't even feel like I want to read. Like I'm just done for the day.
Yeah.
And so the TV time is actually great. I mean, it's a great way to wind down and we watch stuff that we both enjoy and talk about it and that kind of thing. And there's also definitely conversation about like what we read in the news and that kind of thing.
Right. So
I think part of what I'm challenged by in building this routine is I feel like there's some stuff in the routine that I know would be good for me, like the yoga, stretching, something, but I'm not sure, like willpower wise, if I wait until like right before I go to bed, I don't think I'll do it. Yeah. Like that's my sense.
Right. So the thing that I would like to explore a little bit deeper is the idea that there is a routine that kind of equals willpower. And then there's more unstructured things. And that feels like the lack of willpower. Because to me, if you describe a day when you get home and you're tired and you don't even really want to read and you just sort of veg out, like you could say like, yes, like I lacked the willpower to get through the list of things I thought would be really good for me. But you could also retell that narrative as I tuned in, I kind of listened to what I thought I needed that day, and then I was responsive. And so I gave myself the permission to let go of things that would be good for me, but don't have any immediate dire consequences if I don't get them done. And listen to what I needed.
Yes, this is definitely the narrative. I mean, I would say, Katie, that you're right on in terms of like, this is how I talk to myself all the time.
Yeah.
In terms of just being really kind and like, letting myself really do whatever I want.
Right.
The tension for me is now I want to do the yoga. And I'm trying to, and I do really feel like, especially because of some of the back pain and like just wanting to, and when I've done it in the past, like I haven't had like a very consistent yoga practice in the past, but I've definitely dabbled in it.
Sure.
And it has been great. I mean, like I've liked it every time I've done it and I felt like I want to be a person who does this regularly.
Right.
Now what regular means, I don't know. That's definitely a question to explore. And also I think I'm fortunate in that I think if I were to tell my partner, I want to do X, Y, or Z, like I want to read more, I want to have more quiet time, whatever. I actually don't think he would care. I think he would do whatever. Like he has things to read. He, you know,
right.
Like we're very kind of in tune. So, I do feel like I have some flexibility to shift kind of what our evening looks like and not give up time with him, which I think was one of my main concerns was if I'm off like doing a yoga thing.
Yeah.
I think in my mind, I also think it's going to take way longer than it will. I mean, I think it's a thing that could be like 20 minutes and I'm thinking it's going to be like an hour and a half, which is just not realistic. So part of it is I have to like adjust in my mind, what does this actually look like when I'm talking about it? And that will help me, I think, to kind of sequence things and think about, do I actually have time for this? I mean, like, is this something that I can carve out time for?
Yes. And so I think maybe the most useful thing, so you've identified a thing, yoga, that you have like this desire to, it's important to you, it matches up with your values. And you're kind of like, okay, I have this goal. And I know I have the desire and I know it's in alignment. And now I just have to figure out like the executable steps about it.
Yes, that is totally where I am. Yes.
And yoga is this funny thing in that yoga is both what we're doing right now. Like if you are sitting and breathing, you're doing some form of yoga. And it is also a thing that one could do for 8 hours in a very prescriptive, regimented sort of way. So I would say that if there is the goal to build some mindfulness into the way that you're sitting, the way that you're moving, the way that you're kind of purposefully engaging with your body, especially to think a little bit more consciously about your back and the role it's playing, you can do that while you do other things, which is like the best news. But it could also look like, this is an 8-minute yoga sequence that I have on YouTube that I queue up, you know, I have it bookmarked on my phone so that I can have it running as I'm laying on the floor and the TV's going with my partner and we're kind of decompressing. Like my partner is very used to me laying on the floor in a variety of different poses while we talk about our days. Like if my back is sore or if I had something going on. And like it took a variety of conversations and then some self-work on my part to be like, I'm just going to lay like this on the floor and you're going to learn how to engage with me in child's pose because that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
But by learning to sort of decouple yoga, the practice as it's practiced and taught by others, away from mindfulness about my body was really useful for me. So if I said to you, what would need to happen for you to make a 1 hour yoga class outside of your house once a week?
I definitely would schedule it on the weekend.
Okay.
And that's a
precious resource, weekend time.
I think it's just way more flexible. I mean, we are introverted people. We do not really hang out with anyone on the weekends other than each other. And especially in the morning time when my partner is sleeping in, I have a lot of flexibility around what I do with that time. And also we're not really, the weekends are not times that feel pressured to spend time with each other. I mean, we certainly do, but I'm off doing my thing. He's off doing his thing. I mean, like we're kind of living our own lives. So I feel like there's a lot of flexibility there. Whereas in the evenings, it's like, this is my time to see him at all during the day, because I do not interact with him in the morning at all. And if we go a couple days with no evenings, then it's like, we're just not seeing each other during the week.
Absolutely.
But I also think based on what you were saying, I hear you on the doing it throughout the day, knowing myself, I get completely distracted. And so cognitively, it's very difficult for me to be in my body when I'm like doing cognitive work just throughout the day. And especially when I'm writing, I'm so used to writing in a particular posture. It's not impossible. I want to be clear about that. But to be realistic about like if I'm going, and I've tried to do this. I had a trainer who kind of gave me desk exercises and posture things and all kinds of things. And it works to a degree, but then I just fall into a flow state and I completely forget and I am not focused on it at all. So I think that part of what I'm trying to think about in the evenings, I mean, there's on the one hand, there's like starting a yoga practice as a thing, like as a goal. But on the other hand, really what I'm thinking about kind of metaphorically is like unfolding at the end of the day and like having some kind of way to just kind of release physically what has happened during the day in terms of strain or tension and allowing that to happen before I go to bed, because it feels like a buildup. And if I'm not kind of engaging with it at the end of the day, then it's just building up over the week. And then that tension doesn't go away. I don't wake up without it. It's not like sleep makes it go away.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what I'm really drawn to is this idea of like, if my morning is releasing stuff through the writing and having the solitude time and the reflection time and really synthesis, like that's a lot of what I'm doing in the morning through that reflection. The evening has to be a letting go of something because I've been doing like mostly cognitive work all day long.
Right.
And I feel like there's like an element of both mental and physical rest that's happening before I go to sleep.
Right. So this is what I'm picturing, because I definitely hear you that it's both about sort of like the concreteness of what a yoga practice would be and how it would fit into different kinds of days, weekdays, middle of the day, evening. And then this also sense that you have a pretty good sense of what the morning does functionally, and you know what you want the evening to do functionally. Mm-hmm. And that bodily unfolding is as important as sort of the cognitive part of it. And I definitely hear that. So what I'm imagining is, what if you functionalize, you made a routine for the very beginning of the evening, where during dinner, as you're sort of like assembling things, you kind of check in and say, you have like a list of three questions. How's my body feel? How does my mind feel? How do I feel relationship-wise, connection-wise, however you want to phrase that? And then whatever the answers of those things are, you have in your mind a menu of different invitations So that's the way that I like to think about some of my routines, because I have blocks of time that I want to sort of use in a certain way. But for instance, my mornings vary wildly. And sometimes I want to do morning pages, and sometimes I want to go for a run, and sometimes I want to sleep for 20 more minutes. Like, I do kind of wake up with my alarm and then ask myself questions and then move on from there. So I'm sort of picturing a like choose your own adventure that's got some prescription in terms of what those adventures might be, but is also responsive to your day. Because if you had a really tough day, you want to be able to just lay on the couch. But maybe that's like, okay, well, I have a tough day and I'm feeling it in my back and also in my desire to not do any work tonight. So while I think about reading my book, maybe I will do 5 or 10 minutes of a back stretch before I sit down on the couch. How does the choose your own adventure evening feel?
I like the premise of it.
Okay.
But there's something you said earlier as you're describing that. Like, I keep going back to something you said earlier that I really resonated with, which was the snowball method of like getting this stuff done and then you don't have to worry about it. And so part of me is like, is there a way when I come in, because I come in the door and I eat, it's like I walk into the kitchen and I immediately make a meal. Like, this is like, and my partner and I don't typically eat together. We eat when we each other wants to eat. We are on very different schedules. So it's not like that is a communal time. We talk to each other, but it's not like we're sitting down and eating dinner at a table. But then I immediately go to change my clothes. And so what I'm wondering is if similar in the morning, it's like I go to change my clothes, I've had dinner, maybe I just move up my entire evening routine of like brushing my teeth and like those kinds of things to then. Because this is the other thing. I mean, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit, if I go too late and I'm about to go to bed, if I'm exhausted, I'm not brushing my teeth. I'm like, I just go straight to bed. Like, I'm so tired. Like, I lose that entire routine. And this doesn't happen often, but I know myself well enough to know that like, if I lose that and I'm just like stumbling up to bed, I'm not going to do like the routine that I would prefer that would be ideal for me. So what you're making me wonder is maybe it's like, I come home, I do the food thing, I go change my clothes. And because I'm changing into comfortable, you know,
We call those cozers.
Yeah. Like really cozy clothes. Maybe that's the time. Cause I have this space, like when I envision where this yoga is going to take place, I have the space in my bedroom that is carpeted, that is free of stuff. I mean, it would be really easy when I've done it in the past, that's where I've done it. I have stuff queued up on my iPad. I mean, like I yoga with Adrian. I mean, we'll link it in the show notes. There's all kinds of things. I have an app. I mean, I have all the tools.
Sure.
But it's almost like doing what you said of like the snowball method of then I unlock the rest of the evening. And I can do whatever I want because I've done the yoga, I've done the teeth brushing, I've done like, and then it, whenever I'm done, I just go straight to bed because like, I don't have to worry about other parts of that routine.
Yeah. And I think that there's something really powerful in that because I think one of the things that I'm hearing in sort of the threads of all of these conversations, that there's definitely a feeling that you get after a certain number of things have been accomplished, where you give yourself permission to let the sort of rest of it go. That like, it's like a pre-flight checklist. Like the mission can start or the mission can end as soon as those things are checked off.
Yeah.
And so it's not even about necessarily a snowball method. And I think the one concern that I have is that I don't want, I think it would be hard if it's framed as I have to earn my relaxation by brushing my teeth, right?
Right, yeah.
And so I think that it could be really useful because I think what's so powerful about your morning routine is that you give yourself the permission for it to be a relaxed, open time.
Right.
And that when there are these sense of things in the evening that are still looming, even if it's just like brushing your teeth, that still needs to happen, that maybe it's about thinking of those things less as like a snowball method or payments towards future relaxation, but more like, okay, this is my chance to set the conditions for me to unfold.
Yeah. No, I love that because I think that part of it is, it ends up being a distraction when, and this is just kind of how my brain works. Like if I've got stuff in the wings that I need to do, it's going to stay in my brain. I mean, even when I, like even when I try to hand something off to my partner, if it's not done on the timeline I want it done on, I'm like, okay, so this is still on my checklist. Like this is not, until you tell me it's done, I'm keeping it on my, my mind, you know, so that I ensure the bill gets paid or whatever. So I think that, and that tells you all kinds of things about me psychologically, but it's the same with this in my mind that it, there are these things that even unconsciously are in the back of my mind that if I'm not doing them, you know, like it's going to not actively trigger anything, but I think about kind of habit formation and how this act of like pairing things together, you know, if I already have certain things that are set, and I think I hadn't realized I do have certain things that are set as part of my evening routine. Like I wasn't thinking about those things as being consistent when they are, you know, like the eating, the changing of the clothes, that kind of thing. So if I can pair things, like you said, I think it's about not permission granting, but setting the conditions. Like that mindset is really helpful of like what allows me to unfold for the evening. And but I am definitely someone who runs on routine. I mean, like I could do the same yoga routine every night and be perfectly happy with that if it was meeting my needs. Like I'm not someone who's gonna need to switch it up every 5 minutes. And that's kind of the other thing that I think could be useful is like finding a certain amount of time, whether it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, and then maybe spending a longer period of time on the weekends, you know, doing a longer routine. But just having a short amount of time, I mean, even 5 minutes of stretching can make you
30 seconds, one deep breath. It's all going to be good stuff. And I think the way that I was thinking about the yoga is that it could be useful to have, you know how there's like, there's class sessions and then there's homework. So like you go to class and you show up and that's a specific sort of mindset. And then there's a variety of activities that you do not in that room to sort of stay engaged in the process, but we all sort of understand them as separate from classroom space. What if you switched thinking about the yoga as opposed to being like, how much yoga can I fit in 15 minutes versus can I think about having a longer session, maybe on the weekends, maybe in a class, maybe a longer YouTube video, kind of whatever works, as this is the in classroom time. And then during the week, I have homework assignments.
That's absolutely a good mindset. I mean, I think that in a very similar way, I mean, part of what I love, as regimented as my morning sounds, part of what I love about the walk that I take is that I don't have to pay attention to it. I'm walking in a circle. Like I have to make sure I'm not getting hit by the sprinklers this time of year, but I'm like just walking in a circle. And so if I, and I can check my app and be like, oh, I have this many steps. That must mean I've gone 4 laps. And I'm just paying attention to my podcast listening and not, you know, focusing on whatever, you know, like the path I'm on or not getting hit by a car or whatever. Like I don't have to worry about that where I'm walking. And I feel like I'm looking for the same thing with the yoga in what you're describing as the homework sessions, you know, like that, this is something where I don't really have to think about it. I'm not trying to have perfect technique. It's not about building my core. Like it's not about that. Maybe the weekend, fine. Like I want to go with that direction. This is so much more about relaxation and also just being attentive to like my physical self, because I spend so much of my day in my head that at some point I have to be attentive to my body.
Yes. And that's definitely something. So it could, I'm sort of picturing your morning walks as a container that you sort of, you've set up the container, you set up the rules of the container, and then what fills it is what fills it every day. You know, the podcast could fill it, the what, like the weather could fill it, really good plants, if you saw them, could fill it, but like you've built the conditions to be able to tune into whatever you need to be able to tune into.
Right.
And so thinking about this yoga block in the evening is saying, okay, maybe it's just that I set a timer on my phone for 15 minutes or 5 minutes or kind of whatever feels comfortable. And then I just know that this is the one pose. These are the two poses that I do. You know, I do child's pose and then I do happy baby or kind of whatever feels most useful. And I don't worry about how it fits into the routine. I just focus on how my back feels or how my breathing feels. And for 5 minutes, and that's all. And then if after that you decide you need something a little bit more that day, like if your back is really talking to you, then your choose your own adventure evening could be, you know, a longer YouTube video.
Right.
But I think lowering the barriers to entry as much as you can so that it's as automatic as it can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and that's what I love about routines. I mean, yeah. I'm one of those people. So Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies, yeah. I'm definitely an upholder. And the tagline she always says is discipline gives you freedom. And I totally believe that. Like the more I can just automate things and not have to think about them, the more energy I can give to creative work and the kinds of things that I want to be really focusing on. And I think what I'm really drawn to about what you're describing is this idea of having the routine be relatively systematic in that, you know, there's a couple of poses or that I know enough about which poses I should do based on how I'm feeling, you know, that kind of thing. But also what I'm hearing in it that's attractive to me, and I tell this to people that I coach around writing all the time, is that if you don't feel like doing it, just do it for 5 minutes. And usually that leads to 10 or 15, you know, like it's really, like you're saying, that low barrier to entry of just try. And if you are done after 5 minutes, fine. But at least you've kind of done the small amount and stretch yourself out or unfold it or whatever. And so that part to me is also really nice to think about, is like that it doesn't have to be more than a small amount of time, but I can let it turn into what it needs to turn into. And I definitely have the flexibility of that, because if I think about coming home, eating dinner, changing my clothes, like all of that is basically happening before 6:30.
Right.
Still gives me a good amount of time. You know, even if I were to throw yoga in there, it's still a good like 2.5 hours of whatever else I want to be doing that evening. And that's the part that I think that kind of flexibility in the latter part of the evening is going to be helpful. So the other piece too is, even though I'm kind of debriefing from my day on my commute home, you know, I'm listening to podcasts or whatever, I'm still a little bit in work mode when I come home. Like I'm still, the willpower is still there a little bit. So I think that if I were to say, okay, you know, it's, the day is not really done in terms of like complete relaxation. Now, I don't think there's a rigidity to that of like, I'm going to sit on the couch if I want to sit on the couch. Like that's, I just do what I want. I mean, there is a slight rebel in me in addition to the upholder. But I also, and like you said, like sometimes you just need what you need. And so you give yourself that. Right. But I also think that having kind of that pairing is going to be useful.
Yeah. So the image that keeps coming to me as I'm listening to you talk is this old story. And I think I read it the first time in a Chicken Soup for the Soul book that was in
there. Oh my God, I love those books so much. Yeah. I really need to read those again.
25 years ago, a very long time, but it was a story about a man that was a police officer. Maybe he had some sort of very intense job, and he would come home from work and touch this tree on the way in, and his daughter, in like the Chicken Soup, the parable story way, would ask him like, why are you touching that tree? And he said, this is where I hang my worries, and I put them all here so that when I enter the house, I can be with you. And then in the morning, I pick up what I need to, and I take it with me. And he said, there's never as many worries on the tree as I left there, which is an image that occurs to me in a lot of different settings. But I think that it could be useful, because I hear that there's this sense of, I want to be doing this, and I'm attempting to will my body into this state or that state, and my mind is still chewing on things because there isn't this sort of, and so I'm wondering if there's maybe even like a physical activity where you have the kind of reverse morning pages where you say, here are the things that I just need to write down so that I have an agreement with myself that I won't forget them. And this is where I put, you know, the bill that I know is still out there or that email that I need to send, and I put it on this notebook, or maybe it lives in my planner, kind of wherever it's going to be useful. But it's this very conscious moment of writing down all the things that you want to put down so that you can kind of move into that space.
So I love that idea. I feel like that is something I do all day. Yes. Like I definitely have the systems for that in terms of just, I have a horrible memory. Like I have to write everything down.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of doing that in a reflective way. Yeah. I don't know that I would need to write it, because I do feel like I have like systems for that. But I like the idea of having maybe a series of questions or something that I'm kind of asking myself, like you said at the end of the day about kind of where I'm at, but even just like what am I not able to let go of right now? You know, like what's the thing that's still on my mind from the day? whatever, you know, that might be that I'm still kind of churning on.
Yes.
And then allowing the yoga stretch time to just be like processing that a little bit and then releasing it, like actively releasing it. Because I think there's always a lot of stuff, and I'm sure some of our listeners can relate to this. Like, it just goes on in the background. Like, you're not even conscious that you're just like churning on these things. So I like the idea of, I mean, it's really a powering down. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, is like using the yoga practice as a way to kind of power down. And it's not even about permission giving. It's like, I need to flip a switch. Like, I need something that actively flips a switch so that I can just move on into the evening and the unfolding. Like, all of this language, like the unfolding, the powering down, like, that's really helpful language for me to think about what is the larger purpose of what I'm trying to do through this action.
Yes. And I used to make my yoga teacher crazy because I have a very busy mind. I always feel like I have like 9 parallel tracks. It's very hard to converse with me in a personal level. I'm better in professional settings, but in a personal level, I'm like drawing on 9 different things. I'm jumping all over. I want to talk about sharks and also like the tariffs. Like, I'm scattered. And so I remember being in a yoga class and somebody saying, well, you know, just focus on your breath, only focus on your breath. And I was like, there's no universe in which I will be able to lay in this position or any other and only focus on my breath. That's an impossible goal. Please stop asking me to do it. And she said, well, why not then imagine what your mind is doing in this time as consciously acknowledging the things that you're letting sort of simmer all day. And so when I'm engaged in kind of a mindfulness practice, my goal is rarely to empty my mind and more to acknowledge what's in it. So I will be laying on the floor and something will come up, you know, a feeling, or sometimes it's a bodily sensation and sometimes it's a twinge. And I'll say, like, I will literally greet it and say, like, hello, backache. Like, hello, memory from 2 years ago. And then I kind of picture how far away I can put it. So sometimes I can't put it very far away at all. I imagine placing it just outside of my yoga mat, or maybe just outside of that door. And then sometimes I can say, you know, I really don't need that in this house right now, or I don't need that in this city, or I could put that in a sort of subterranean place. Mm-hmm. But instead of focusing on emptying, it helps me to just sort of greet it and see what's there and then decide how far away I can put it.
Yeah, so I love that.
Like, that might be something useful to do while you're in child's pose, or why, you know, you're doing sort of like a reclined twist.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, because I do think that so much of this is in all the routines that I do. Part of why they're so comforting is this idea of acceptance and acknowledgement. You know, like, it's definitely not about pushing this stuff away or ignoring it. Or I think part of why I want to bring the yoga in is as a kind of acknowledgement of the bodily, you know, form of, it's just, it's there and I ignore it most of the day, unfortunately, you know, for the sake of all the cognitive work. But so yeah, it is a kind of like coming home in a metaphorical sense, in the same way as it is like a literal sense of coming home, of coming back to the body and saying, like, okay, like, this is where we are now.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's kind of a landing, to circle back to the sort of first question about, like, where are you landing in this call? But maybe it's a question that you ask yourself when you're kind of in your bedroom during that sort of 5 minutes, you know, how am I landing here today? You know, what, I'm imagining like your body in one space and your brain in another, and like the moment of touchdown is when they kind of like come together.
Yeah.
Like, oh yes, I am a human body in a physical space-time situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also, I mean, from, again, kind of like a metaphorical sense, I think about, I don't want my body to feel like it's been ignored.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all day, and then I don't think about it at all. I'm just like setting it aside. Like, I mean, think about it as a relationship, you know, between my brain and my body. It's like, no, I have to say at least hello at some point. And I feel like the walk is definitely that in the morning. I mean, it's coming, you know, it's taking care of my physical self. But in the evening, I think I've spent all day distracted. and right. not always in the best, you know, poses and all of that. So this is a great way to kind of acknowledge, say hello, ground myself, you know, and come back to acknowledging that, like, part of what allows me to do that creative cognitive work is taking care of the physical self.
Yes.
So, yeah. All of it is super helpful.
I have literally written love letters to my body before that is like, thank you for continuing to function when I go for hours in a marathon writing session and ignore you completely. Like, yeah. thank you, bladder, for lasting for that, you know, 4 hours. And I think that so many of us are in situations where everything is calling for us to not associate the two. And anything you can do to help reintegrate is going to help you pay a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
And I think thinking about it less like, this is a practice that I need to start because it's willpower and I will myself to reintegrate, and more like, this is my invitation. Like, I'm going to invite myself into a moment of reconnection.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that because I think it is about a kindness.
Yeah.
And this is like one of the principles that I try to live by is like loving kindness towards yourself. And I think that there's such a difference between, and I'm so glad we kind of talked through all of this because I think coming from, you can have this place of like, I want to be one of those people who does yoga. I want to be able to have a yoga practice. I want to be able to talk about the fact that I have a yoga practice. Like, there's this like surface level, yeah. you know, BS about like why you want to have a certain goal. But then you, when you dig deeper into it, like there are real reasons that are very based in like values and needs that you have. And this is so much more motivating to me to think about why I would want right. to do this and how it fits in and why it fits in than just, I need to be someone who has a yoga practice. Like, I mean, there's so much deeper to go.
Right. And I think about all of that as when you've lost, because almost everybody's routines become destabilized at some point. I know that for me, it's very seasonal. What works for me in the winter does not work for me in the summer. And so I used to feel a lot of guilt and shame that I was never going to be a person who had more than 21 days of a habit. And part of it is that I have a chronic illness that flares with my bodily cycle. And so I never have more than really 3.5 good weeks at a time where I'm feeling solid. Mm-hmm. And so I have started to think about routines as less something that's only valid if I do it every day and more something that I engage with on a theoretical level as these are containers that help me live out my values. And so if I don't get my run in this week, it's not that I don't continue to have the value of caring about my body. It just means that that week it was filled with not running, but something else. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are when I made that switch, as opposed to this isn't about having a 100-day streak on my Headspace app. This is about saying, did I do something today that checked in with my mind and how it was feeling? Did I do something today that paid attention to my body? That's the habit that I care about, unless the execution. And that's what I'm really hearing from what you're saying is, I want, especially in this evening routine, to have containers that help me live in an aligned way with what I want my evening to be. And as opposed to my morning routine, where I want that sort of stability to help me kick off the rest of what's going on, I want these as to sort of be touchstones to reconnect with why I'm doing it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that in a mini way, that what I'm doing in the morning is really helping my future self later on in the day. Yeah. And that same thing doesn't really work in the evening routine for me. I think that the evening routine sets up the morning routine and all that, but the morning routine is fine without me doing anything to the evening routine. Like right now it's fine. As right. long as I go to bed, you know, at a decent time. So I need a different rationale. And that's useful to think about, and hopefully for our listeners too, of just this concept of, if you're not able to motivate yourself to do something, it may be because you need a different rationale than what is motivating you in other areas of your life. And digging into it with questions like you asked me tonight helped me to see the values container piece, which I think is really useful. And that I can trigger this in particular ways that can be really useful and already tied in with things that I'm already doing that I didn't really recognize as a routine.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that was really powerful for me to hear was the fact that you could sort of say, like, I do have some triggers that are already working in the evening routine, and I don't need to completely reinvent everything from like the concept of evening on. I can sort of say, you know, here is something that feels like a solid set of triggers. I'm going to add something on the end of it. I'm going to snowball what's already working. And then I'm going to say, I've set up the conditions for this to be the flexible space that I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the sort of pinnacle of, here's the thing that I feel like isn't working. I'm actually going to dig into it, see what is working and what I've known can work in the past, and build from a place of, this is what supports me, as opposed to, this is a problem that I'm going to fill with a tool.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie. That was fun.
You're welcome. So the last question that I always like to end on is, what do you feel most energized by in sort of our conversation today?
I think I feel energized around the idea that it just feels more doable now.
Okay.
Like it feels, I think that one of the challenges too of like trying to do something new, and for me, like, I understand that yoga for some people is a very deep practice. It has a lot of knowledge base around it. It's a thing. I mean, like, and I don't know very much about it. So I have not trained in it. I have not taken a yoga class. Like, anything I've done has been off of like a YouTube video. So I think there was definitely part of me that was like, how do I do this in a way that is like respectful of this practice? And now I feel like it's more, I'm not as worried about that. I mean, it's like, let me just try it. Let me get into the routine of like just doing it in small ways, and I can build up to learning more about it and making sure that I know actually what I'm doing. But I think there's sometimes like a perfectionist tendency of like, I can't do it unless it has these conditions. And, you know, so I feel a lot better about that. I feel like I've been able to kind of release some expectations around what it has to look like,
right,
in terms of timing. You know, like, 5 minutes is fine.
I'm
still going to quote unquote count in terms of like embedding this into my routine. And it's probably just a way more realistic way of thinking about it. So that's very energizing. And I do feel like even tonight, you know, once we get off the call, this is something I can do. Like, I can build this in like immediately.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing how it goes.
Yes. I will definitely check in at our next session and let you know what it looks like. But this has been really fun. Thanks, Katie.
Well, it's been a pleasure for me too. So, all right. Well, I'm going to probably go do my wind down because we're getting close to my evening buffer zone. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, good to talk with you. And I look forward to chatting again soon.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Coach to Coach. For any resources mentioned in the episode, check out the episode show notes at drkatielinder.com/coach. If you found this episode to be helpful, please take a moment to rate or review the show in Apple Podcasts or recommend this episode to a friend or colleague. Thanks for listening.